Hello, this is Joe Rogan, and you are now listening to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast with your host, Miguel.
You know, Miguel, he's a guy that grew up in the Wyckoff Projects in downtown Brooklyn. Check it.
The highest good is like water. Water gives life to the 10,000 things and does not strive. It flows in places men reject, and so is like the Tao. In dwelling, be close to the land. In meditation, go deep in the heart. In dealing with others, be gentle and kind. In speech, be true. In ruling, be just. In business, be competent. In action, watch the timing. No fight, no blame.
Welcome back to episode 239. Today is October 31st, 2025. The title of today's episode is The Tao of Pattern Recognition in Order to Construct a Universal Mental Framework for Reaching Short and Long-Term Goals. I will repeat. The title of today's episode, 239, the title is The Tao of Pattern Recognition in Order to Construct a Universal Mental Framework for Reaching Short and Long-Term Goals. In today's episode, it's going to get a little technical, where I'm going to kind of reflect back on days that I used to do developing and programming and databases and such like that, and then using that as a metaphor for solving problems in real life. So if it's kind of going over your head or you don't completely understand what I'm getting into, especially during the beginning of this episode, just stick with me because I will be explaining it as I go along. Just understand that I'm talking about writing and developing computer programs and databases, and the skill sets and the properties that are involved in that whole process of programming can actually be applied to real life, okay, and elevating your life. So hang in there with me, because ultimately it will make sense, right? So here we go. Whenever you're presented with a problem or some type of mental psychological challenge, you need to have a pathway or a methodology to employ in order to reach a solution. I call these methodologies knowledge modules. Now, as a side note, again, for this episode, those of you, because I'm telling you this whole world is going AI, technology, and everything like that, and I do believe at the end, the working man is going to succeed, and I don't think these elites are going to get away with everything they want to try to get away with. I think people started waking up last second to throw a monkey wrench in their work. So again, as a side note to this episode, for those of you who are possibly either thinking of IT as a career or are in a position where you have to work with computer technology at work, doing your own business, whatever the case may be, if you don't know that much about computers and you pay close attention to what I'm about to present, it might actually whet your appetite to go into YouTube and start learning about Microsoft Access, about relational databases, about SQL, which is structured query language. It all sounds very technical, but if you view it as like a video game, which is what I did initially in the beginning, back in like 1987 or something like that, when I got my first computer. It was a generic Windows PC. So what I noticed back then, that if I put a little script of code here or there, it would have an impact or change the screen. And it was almost like a video game for me, in that that was my approach to it. In other words, I guess in essence, you could say have fun with it with no pressure, just learn it. So if you listen to how I break down this whole technology, okay, and trust me, it gets a lot more complicated than that. I'm just getting into databases, which is just the structure of data so that you can ask questions and get responses back. It might whet your appetite, and you're going to say, you know what, it's not that hard. You'll hop on YouTube, you will get a student version of Microsoft Access or a hack version, whatever you do, and start messing around with it and creating tables and relating tables and, like I said, getting on YouTube and messing around with it, because even if you don't use it or write code with it, it will help you with everything in life, not just in career things, but in your own life. because what it is, it's a very disciplined way of thinking and processing information, you know, that you have to work with. So let's get into this episode. If I had to point out one single skill that has transformed my life or had the biggest impact on my life, that would be a computer programming, writing code, developing relational databases. The second greatest skill that propelled my career was communication skills, both written and verbal, used in sales and business relations. And when I say propel my career, it's not like I was some kind of giant thing, but I ran a staffing agency, the office. I was the president, and I was involved with the workers' comp, with the sales. I was the salesman of the company. I was the person that managed, independently managed the workers' comp, the interview process, the whole spectrum, interviewing and everything like that, everything to do with the staffing. So it was a big responsibility at a small company. So I was a big fish in a small company. But, you know, it relates to life because it's all scalable. You know, if you do well on a small scale, you can scale that up and do well on a large scale. So, again, bouncing ideas, you know, instead of getting fed all of this negative toxins that we get from everyday news of everybody getting laid off and people losing their jobs, although that is true, you need to see the flip side of that coin or the yin and yang of that, where you get the positive, where you grow and learn and expand and, again, change your life. The thing, and again, before I continue with this train of thought, I want to say one thing that I've been dying to get it off my chest, but I'm just going to put it out there. Like, the ruling class and the elites have extracted pretty much all the wealth out of the working class people in this country, and there's not much left. Hence, you have people living out of their cars and homeless and just all kind of really, really bad stuff. Wars, rumors of wars. But the thing that we have to understand is this. This is God's creation, okay? So as long as the sun rises and sets every day and it rains and we have water and we're on this planet, okay? You don't necessarily need bankers and financial institutions and BlackRock and all of that to deliver you a loaf of bread, okay? For man to exist, to take it at the most simple level, you know, you have to have a farmer go out and till his field without glyphosate, you know, just go out there and till your field, non-GMO stuff, raise your crops, and feed the people. And in exchange for the food that they grow, the farmers, they will get either work or some type of barter, whatever it might be, from the person. So because we really, what we need to live is food, okay, to exist. And then we can redevelop or reorganize what it is to live in harmony with one another and to work together. See, the biggest thing that they hate right now, because you can spew all the hate you want, all of the division that you want on YouTube, and they're letting it all go. All whatever it is, I see it on YouTube all day long. Stuff that they used to block, they're kind of promoting it now, which is separation and such. But the biggest thing that will shadow ban you immediately, which I know has shadow banned me, is alternative thinking and alternative solutions. And when you promote harmony between people and races and classes, they don't want harmony. They want division and separation. They want divide and conquer. They don't want solutions. They want people to be, you know, hoveled on the ground, rolling around in their own urine in fear, okay? And waiting for Big Pharma to save them with the right inoculation, if you know what I mean. So we don't need them. We really don't need them. But they have put themselves in a position where they control all means of food and medical and business. They control everything. You know, if we would take it back to a time where, you know, you had a guy that fixed a piece of furniture instead of ordering it on Amazon, where a guy would actually fix a piece of furniture or build a bench and then exchange it, you know, for some a loaf of bread, whatever the case may be, we could live in that type of situation. We don't need them. Just a thought, you know, just to put that out there, because people feel like when the economy crashes, everybody dies and starves because we don't have Amazon to deliver us, you know, our staples that we need, or that we can't go to the, you know, corporate-owned supermarket and order that Monsanto loaf of bread. We don't need that. We've done it for a million years or whatever the case may be, and we've been fine. And now all of a sudden people think the sky is falling because, you know, we don't have big corporate and big pharma to save us and big government. We did perfectly fine taking care of ourselves throughout history. Okay. Again, just putting that out there as a thought. So, like I said, the second greatest skill that I've ever had to propel my career is communication, written and verbal communication skills, which are very, very important. Okay. And in order to be a good speaker and have good communication skills, you have to be a really good listener, because if it doesn't come in the ears, it's not going to come out of your mouth. So you need to be a good listener. Okay. Critical listening also, where you dissect and really try to integrate what the person speaking is telling you. Try to have a complete understanding of what they're telling you. Okay. Right around 1990, 1991, the way computer programs were developed and programmed transitioned from a DOS-based language over to an object-oriented or visual language type of programming set. And I made that transition kind of, it was really difficult for me because I was used to like a dot prompt. I was used to DOS. Those of you who know DOS, I mean, it's caveman stuff. It's a long time ago, but it was the original operating system before Windows. DOS stands for disk operating system. But when that transition came, I remember I had all type of programs written in DOS in Fox Pro and Clipper, I think it was, right? Writing code. And they took that away from me and they gave me Microsoft Access and I freaked out. I said to myself, what is this? I don't know how to use this. This makes no sense. And I grabbed the handbook for Microsoft Access and I flipped to the first page and I looked for customer service. Back then you can do this, call customer service. So I saw Microsoft customer service in Seattle, Washington. I called and they advised me that I think I had 3 free phone call consultations and I used up all 3. But the first and second one, I learned a little bit, but I was banging my head on the desk. I couldn't figure out how to crack the code on this new Microsoft Access that was object oriented, as they call it, visual. So finally I called in this young dude, like a surfer kind of guy. He was like, dude, you got to do this. And dude, you got to do that. And this is how that works. And it wasn't getting through. So he said, dude, what you got to do is you got to take your table object and create a query object. And from that query object, you're going to have a screen that you're going to be able to filter through the query. And I'm like, what? And he said, it's modular, dude. I'll never forget. He goes, it's modular, dude. It's like you have a table object, a screen object, and a query object, and you have to integrate. And it hit, he told me, create a table, create a query, and then create a screen. And he showed me, and then he says, filter the screen through the query this way. And a light bulb, a lightning bolt went off in my head. And I was like, wow. And I never looked back. I started developing and doing, not super high level, but enough that I was able to get a lot of stuff done, automated, you know. And I could sit in a meeting with IT and, you know, hold my own, you know, with the programmers in IT. So it was a very impactful moment for me, but in addition to me learning how to program with Microsoft Access, I saw the world as a world with properties, objects, filters, code, where I was able to look much deeper into the reality that was in front of me than I was before, because I realized that everything has properties. Okay. And all a property is like, let's say you create a table. A table is let's say a mini spreadsheet, right? And it has first name, last name, address, social security number. Then you might have another table for contact, which is going to be cell phone, email, you know, home address, whatever. So it's a way of sorting or parsing out data. So those are properties. Property could be, is it a text field, a numeric field? You know, a date field, you know, these are all different type of properties that you assign to the data that you have. So it's a method of categorizing and classifying data so that it can be stored appropriately. So if you have a date field, it's going to be if you're going to try to enter a date, you need to enter it into a date field, because if you try to enter a date into a numeric field, it's not going to accept it. It's incompatible and you'll get an error. So it kind of hit me. You know, I started parsing out or sorting out the world in those terms. Like I'd say, this guy's a boss. So as a result, his properties are going to be, he can make decisions. He can give me an opportunity in his company, whatever the case may be, or I would speak to somebody else. They may have worked in the IT department, because in those days you had an IT department, like a big old computer room. And it had Burroughs and IBM machines. And I'd be speaking to somebody in the computer department, and I would say to myself, well, this guy does this, and he would be able to provide these different things to me, these reports or whatever. So I began to view the world in that light, and I'd be in different meetings with people, with a customer, with clients, people coming in, different departments, and I'd ask certain questions, and they would always say to me, why do you ask that question? And then I would say, well, I need to understand the complete structure of what we're dealing with here from beginning to end. And they would say, well, that's a really good question. You know, and then like the programming dude would have to answer and break down to me, you know, answer my question. So it really did have a big impact on me, and it could have a really big impact on you too. Not just for writing code, but for life. Okay. Again, if you write code, you know exactly what I mean. So just like when that guy from Seattle in Microsoft, the tech support guy, told me that it's modular, my world became modular, in a sense, with regard to information especially. So what I began to do was I began to store everything that I learned in what I call information modules or data modules. So if I was working on a car and the car wouldn't start, automatically I would reference mentally in my mind my mechanics module. And then right there, I would have the default thing. The first thing you do when a car doesn't start is, A, is the battery dead? B, is the starter burnt out? Is there no fuel, air, right? So spark. So that would be tucked away in my mechanics module. And then within my mechanics module, I had deeper levels of mechanics. Not that I was a high-level mechanic, but I mean, I always read a lot of books, the Chilton manuals and stuff. So we'll put that to the side. Now I would have to deal with something electrical. So I'd have my electrical knowledge module. And the reason I bring that up is because there's going to be times, especially with a car, you're going to deal with something. It's going to be mechanical and electrical. So you have to go digging through your searching through mentally your mechanics module, knowledge module, and your electrician's knowledge module, and integrate both or relate both. Like you would relate tables, you would relate those. And now that I'm on that table of relating, there's a thing in computer programming that's called primary key field. And the best way to relate this to you would be, let's say, your social security number, right? Everybody has a social security number, which is unique. So a primary key field cannot have duplicates. It can only exist in the database one time, that primary key field, again, like social security number. And here's the reason for that. You would have, let's say, like I said, you'd have a table that was your contact information, right? So that table would be comprised of fields such as email, social media, home address, and such. Things related, telephone number, related to contact. And then you would have another table that would be, let's say, related to your job. So it would have your job title, your salary, you know, what medical coverage plan you had, whatever that might be. And then you'd have, so what you do is you sort all of the related information into different tables. Instead of having one huge table with 1,000 fields in it, or, you know, 100 fields, you would have smaller tables, let's say with 10 fields or 5, whatever the case might be. Now, the reason for that is if you're going to put a phone number in for a person, you only put it in one time, right? And you don't want to have a table with 1,000 fields in it. You don't want that, you know, because it'd be impossible to go through or sort or search through. It'd be very difficult and time-consuming, resource-intensive. So you put your information into smaller packets of information, smaller tables, and these tables relate with each other through the primary key field. So when you have the table for communication, you know, like phone number, email, social media address, and such. Within that table, you would have a field that would be the primary key field of Social Security number, right? And now let's say you're going to your job information where your title, your salary, and all that. That table also has a primary key field, right, which is your Social Security number. And you're able to link them together through that primary key field. So it's almost like you have one giant table through relationships between all of these tables. And the relationship is through your Social Security number or the primary key field, the unique field that can you. Each person can only have one Social Security number, not two different or three different Social Security numbers, right? So I'm just putting in that in there because it's a way of indexing different things. When you're thinking and such, you would think in them terms of how does this electrical discipline relate to the mechanical discipline? And you have to have some kind of cohesive primary key field in your head. How that works, I can't exactly explain it, but when you've gleaned enough knowledge or experience with doing things, you'll do that. You'll have the ability to do that and make those relationships in your mind, make these relationships between your different knowledge modules, okay? I know I'm kind of going off a little bit deep, but if this episode really isn't for you, give me a pass on this one, and you know, you'll catch it on the next episode. I'll bring it back down to just a normal, regular topic. But some people, I'm sure, will get this, okay? And it's very important because everything is being pitted against us, man. And technology literally is taking over everything. So you can't bury your head in the sand and say, this doesn't exist. You know, you might have to listen to this episode two or three times, and then it'll start sparking you to go on YouTube and learning on your own, you know, about tables and properties and data fields and such. So it's important. So the next life skill that we're going to get into is the verbal and written communication skills. So you should always make a habit of listening to people that really know how to speak well and who have mastered the art of speaking in the English language, because the goal of speaking is to transmit your message to the listener, to assure yourself that he completely understands the idea that you're trying to convey to him, right? Again, when I was younger, I used to listen to Johnny Carson. I used to watch the political morning shows, and I didn't care anything about politics. Meet the Press, Face the Nation, all of these. And I used to, you know, they used to start at like 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, Saturday and Sunday. And I would sit and listen to these politicians and these journalists, and they would get into different debates and speaking. And I didn't really care to understand what they were talking about, but I just loved their ability to communicate. And it's not, and when I say communicate at a high level, not just using big words, but again, to make sure that the person you're speaking to is able to comprehend and understand the message you're trying to transmit to them. That's really the most important thing, right? So like if you're a salesman and you come to a company, it makes no sense to sit here and use just big words and, you know, try to persuade this guy, you know, with your vocabulary. That's not what it is. When you're going on a sales call, you want to transition or convey the facts that you have in your head, how you can save him money, how you can provide a better service, and how you're going to be the right choice for him because you're going to make him look good and you're going to benefit his company. You want to convey that message to him. That's really the true art of communication, okay? The world is comprised of or made of communications, because if you look in the Bible in Genesis, it said, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So God spoke light into existence, communicating by the word logos. So have a deep understanding of how important the ability to communicate and written, especially verbal. Written, of course, is important, but if you have your verbal down, you know, you're able to speak very well, that's going to transition very simply into your writing skills, because you're just going to write down what you're saying, right? Again, very important. And you might not be a computer guy, right? But you're either, the way God makes us, you're going to have, if you have both, you're really lucky. But if you're not up on the technical or whatever, you don't want to put that much effort into it, work on your verbal communication skills where you're able to speak very concisely, build up a nice vocabulary and different methodologies for talking to different kind of people, because you're not going to talk to the same two different types of people the same way. You're not going to talk to an auto mechanic changing your transmission the same way you're going to speak to a guy who's an astrophysicist. So two completely different worlds. So you have to be aware of who you're speaking with and which is the best way to convey your message to him, right? And that's why it's important to listen to people from different fields. Attorneys really speak well, although they do a lot of word salad stuff, but it's good to listen to them because they're very good at rhetoric. You can look up the word rhetoric, but what it is, it's even if you have nothing backing you up or you're BSing somebody, if you're good at rhetoric, and that's what they do to us all day long, you'll be able to convince people of something that is real that might not even be real. You know, BSing, in other words. Not that I believe in BSing, but all of these skills are very important to learn because even if you're not doing it to somebody else, you'll be aware of when somebody's running rhetoric on you, right? So kind of made my point there. So when a person is speaking to you, there's a lot of bits of information that you can get from them, again, from the vocabulary, their command of the language, the title that they hold, the responsibilities that they have. I mean, there's a lot of different bits of information that you can get just by listening to somebody and making observations of them and then comparing that to other people that you deal with. And as you do this more and more and longer, you'll see the world in a different way. And one of the main reasons I bring this up is you can pursue some methodology, some type of learning like this, or you can sit and doom scroll on your phone all day and try to figure out which Kardashian has made the most money in 2025, or, you know, what basketball player had the most assists in, you know, playoff, you know, stuff that's meaningless, right? So get your head into something that's going to have an impact on your life, right? Get into something that's going to build you up and have a discipline. You know, if you're a BMX, you know, if you have a BMX bike and you're able to do like jumps and spins and everything like that, if you're getting paid good money, work on that skill, man, and make that money, make hay, as they say, make hay while the sun is shining. But if you ain't getting paid on stuff like that, then it's a hobby, and hobbies don't pay the bills, right? I have a saying, there's three things in life that you have to really look at, and what is your passion in life is number one. Number two is, are you good at that passion? And then number three is, are you making money or do you have the ability to make money with that passion? So if the answer to number one is yes, you know, this is your passion. And number two, yes, you're good at this passion. And then number three, no, you can't make money. Then you got to find a new passion, right? And then get a good at it. If that makes sense. So hopefully, you know, you get something out of this episode. I didn't want to go totally IT and kind of abstract on you. I promise you on the next episode, it's just going to be, you know, something similar, something possibly easier to understand. But again, if you didn't grasp it on this talk, play it back again a couple of times. Definitely anybody listening to this is going to get something from it. Even if you know how to code and program, you'll still get something out of it because I use it as a metaphor for life. You know, the programming and the computer skills, I use it as a metaphor for life and seeing life. It's just that I love how pure the logic is in computer programming. I hate AI, that stuff. I don't trust it. But just computer programming itself and data and structured query language, SQL, I love it. Like I said, it changed my life. So that's a lot to chew on today. And I do want to thank you for listening. Praise Yeshua HaMashiach's merciful name. And yeah, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening and check out my website at alphamalebuddhistpodcast.com. That's alpha-male-buddhist-podcast.com. Where you could see all of my content links for my Instagram, Rumble, Telegram, Linktree, and Twitter sites. Also visit my online merch store where you can check out my t-shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, baseball caps. All links are in the description. My email address is alphamalebuddhist@gmail.com. and Miguel at alphamalebuddhistpodcast.com. Again, thank you for listening.